The sun at its highest point in the sky all season is June 21st, the summer solstice. May 21st, therefore, is 30 days before June 21st. So May 21st is as strong of a sun, is as strong of a danger angle of sun and everything as is July 21st. So I would ask myself, hey, would I go outside with no hat on July 21st? And the answer is no, absolutely not. Why would I do that? Am I crazy? But apparently close to May 21st, I'm like, psh, whatever, it's spring. The sun's not that hot yet, but yeah, the air is not that hot yet. The temperature is not that hot yet, but the sun is dangerous as balls.
This is like listening to Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I am Ross. Joining me is my good friend and co-host Ian, and together, instead of watching the opening period of tonight's Game 5 of the Toronto Maple Leafs second round Stanley Cup playoff series, we are attempting to drink Nova Scotia dry. That sentence ended up being twice as long as I expected it to, but whatever. And we're carbon dating ourselves with... So remember it now, you know, and we'll go back, and if this is the year that Toronto Maple Leafs, like, win the whole Stanley Cup playoffs, we'll be listening this back and saying, oh, they didn't know yet.
Is it possible? You think it's possible this year?
I don't know enough about hockey. I feel like the last couple of games that I've watched, they were being outplayed by their current this round opponent. So,
but correct me if I'm wrong, but this current opponent, like I said prior to coming on, my good friend Brandon is a Leafs fan, and I understand that they are playing the winners, the current Stanley Cup holders, are they not?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they're clearly an extremely good side. So you can't expect to be just like walking all over the team that's so good it's already won it last year. So therefore, they're going to be struggling at times, but they're on par. And if they win, if they get through this, they're into the semis, are they not? Which for Toronto is quite an achievement.
Yeah, it is. I don't think they've been past second round in it. I mean, it's lots of color commentary. Everyone's saying, oh, they've never won a game five in the second round since 1984.
Yeah.
People with a lot more information about hockey than I certainly have. I'd be pleased. Because it's also the kind of thing where I started watching hockey. My daughter loves hockey. She watches it, and so I just sort of picked a team, and I picked a team based on the other teams I didn't like. And you know, this one, it's Canadian, and I like the color. You know, honestly, I'd probably be an Edmonton fan, but Edmonton's way the heck out there. But I like their colors, it's orange and blue. It's pretty, but Maple Leafs blue. All right, and I like.
Podcast now and watch the hockey then.
Well, that's true. I have it on in the corner. That's probably why everything's all frozen. Not actually. But I like that I started following them, or I started watching them, saying, yeah, okay, this could be my team. And they've just been terrible for something like 7 years straight. And they've always been the laughing stock. And it was like when I was a kid. When I was a kid, the Toronto Blue Jays never did well. And I would watch them all the time, every week. I'd always watch the Jays game, and I was finally rewarded after something like 8 years, and they finally won the World Series. And I know
exactly the year that was, and the only reason I know that, because I have absolutely zero interest in baseball, even less than I do in hockey, which is very, very minimal. It was my first summer in Canada when I was posted out there while I was still in the military. So it would be 93/94.
I think that was the second year they won. I think they won it in 92 and then again in 93.
There we go.
Unless it was 93 and 94.
So I know where you were at that time in your life, as it were. And I was in my mid-20s.
I would have
been about 15 or something, 17, something like that.
13, 14, right? I think.
Sorry?
14? No, 15. Yeah, no, you're right. 15, 16. Because I think I was driving the second time. Right. Anywho, regardless. Sports ball. Puck bat. this kind of this and that kind of thing. But we, speaking of sports, the New England Patriots, who nobody likes, but we're drinking New England IPAs tonight. NEIPAs, which I think the very first time I had one of these, when it was just me, and I picked up, it was an NEIPA, it just said on it, and I started assuming that that stood for a North American IPA. And I...
North American? Northeast, surely.
No, maybe Northeast, maybe something like that, but oh man, I did not do very well with any kind of knowledge whatsoever, but now I can confidently say this definitely stands for New England, North England IPA, whatever, it's one of the two. And
I think it probably stands for, when it says an NEIPA, it's exactly what it is. NEIPA will do. That's what it is these days for us. We'll drink them all. We'll take them all comers.
I think
any IPA will do.
I think the first one I had was from Heritage down in Yarmouth, and it had some sort of Viking motif to it. And so I've always associated an NEIPA as being the Norwegian Viking IPA for some reason. And right. I don't know why. I've just always associated with it. But, and we've said this several times, the IPAs, we've kind of come around to, and if you say you're juicy, if you say you're hazy, and especially I found that the NE, the New England style, is much more to my palate than, say, as soon as someone says a West Coast IPA, I think, I don't think I'm going to like this one. They're a bit more acidic and sharp and clear, but I love these.
100%. Yeah.
And we have not always had nice things to say about Two Crows, but... I'm really looking forward to this. So Two Crows, right down there in Halifax, has the Sunny Destination New England IPA coming at 6.1% ABV. And it's usually got their three words on the side, as per usual: velvety, lush, and juicy. I'm excited by all three of those words. However, I've also gone on the internet. And the official paragraph on the... New Brunswick Alcool, however you pronounce that, the New Brunswick liquor store, says, Sunny Destination is a super saturated IPA dripping with flavors of passion fruit, pineapple, papaya, and ripe peach. Major tropical vibes as always. This beer is super lush and fresh tasting and perfect for enjoying those sunny summer days. It is... almost a sunny summer day, and if you don't believe me, ask the top of my head. It is bright red from trying to pretend that I should be out on a sunny summer day. That can is full. It burst open.
If you'd have said to me, Ian, for 'tis my name, I'm going to treat you to an IPA from Two Crows, like, I don't know, 18 months ago, I'd have been, oh God, really? Have you got anything else? Because Two Crows never really pumped my nads. Mm. And the IPAs, as like you just said, we've said 100 times, we didn't really like them much. Now, so therefore, that would have been a recipe for disaster. Yeah, let's fast forward 18 months, and I can't wait to get my last beer around this. Two Crows, everything I've tried for them recently has been friggin' delicious, and now I can't wait to have a nice, cold, juicy IPA. Weird. The world's turned upside down. I'm going to crack mine open.
Definitely papaya. Dripping with flavor, so I'm not... Passion fruit, I don't think, actually has a flavor. I think they usually just add sugar to it, and then that's the flavor. Passion fruit just tastes like whatever you mix with it. Wish I was getting more pineapple. There's a little bit of pineapple in there.
It's completely full as well. It's lipping. It's all in there.
Completely open. They did not skimp in this can. And I mean, hazy? Whew! Yes, please. That is some thick juice. It's the juice that you got right there. What I love about these thick ones is... I wouldn't want to drink anything this hazy that was sort of like a 3.5%. I don't know what that's saying about me, but this reminds me of drinking stiff vodka drinks in my utes. And I like that. I like that if I want to have a strong drink, I don't want to be able to see through it.
Yeah, I can understand what you mean. I'm the same with ciders. Old scrumpy ciders in the UK, I often prefer those more than the crystal clear.
Okay.
Like a lager version of cider, if you will. The big, hazy, scrumpy stuff with sediment all over it. I lean far more towards that. This looks like pouring grapefruit juice.
It does.
The cup, yeah. It looks like grapefruit juice. It smells like a big bowl of tropical fruit juice. Yep. It's like a fruit punch. Now, full disclosure, that one I delivered to you the other day, the Sunny Destination, I had one of my own. I don't mean I drunk one. I bought one for myself, of course. And the other night, we were sat here, and both of us were thinking, oh, we could do with an IPA. Delicious. But what have we got in the fridge? Because I've got to be careful here what we drink. And Rebecca cracked this one open and had this one. Okay.
Okay.
And she loved it.
Ooh.
And she said, do you want to try it? And I was like, yes, of course I want to try it. But I'm not going to. I'm going to buy another can straight away because Ross has got in touch with me and said, let's do these. And of course, it happened to be the same destination. So we got another one yesterday. So even though it was there in front of me, just saying, drink me, like Alice in Wonderland, I resisted the temptation to even smell it.
You're not even... I'm not trying to force you to be beholden to my strange mentality of keeping everything, you know, the virgin palate and all that kind of thing. I don't expect anything of the guests. And what I love is we've had guests on and they're drinking, they're two beers ahead. You know, they're like, oh, I'm just going to have this one. I'll just sip this one and have a little bit of this. And Ananda's usually, you know, I'm still talking about it. And he's like cracked open halfway down. He says, I really like this. And we're like, we haven't even tried it yet. But I do appreciate that you try to do the same thing as me. And it's probably why where it's always the two of us, but
I don't always. No, I'm glad you said it because they're not going to hold me to it. You're not going to put a gun to my head.
No.
But of course, I've come here and drunk ones with you, sample things that I've already had. But this is not one of them. So I'm looking forward to this, and I can smell. It smells, even though it's not a double IPA. Look at it, and giving it the old whiff, it's got that really. It's immediately reminding me of the Tropical Storm or the Happy Place that we tried recently. So it's got a kind of double IPA look and feel about it and smell.
And the ABV is high enough. The alcohol percentage is high enough that you'd think it would be a double.
It's 6.1. I mean, that's not a double at strength, though, is it? It's just a strong IPA.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The head disappeared almost immediately for mine. I'm sure it probably did as well. Yeah. All set? Charles?
Yeah, you bet I am. Cheers.
Here's
my problem.
Was easy.
Here's my problem. I love it straight away. I know that I like it. Okay, it's got a little bitterness as well that I like about it. That some of them are extremely sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So they're almost too, and that's often where I'm thinking, this is delicious, but it. But for me, being a something of a traditionalist in the old beer stakes, if something is so sweet and so fruity, it kind of, for me personally, it falls off the range of beer. It just becomes an alcoholic fruit juice. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
And I know this is beer in the same way as I know that a sour is a beer. And I know that the same way that all those different genres of beers are technically beers. But a beer for me doesn't taste like this. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm still, even though I've come around to really enjoying some of these big, hazy, squashy IPAs, They to me are really summery drinks in the same way as a shandy would be or something. They're very refreshing. They hit the mark, but that. So I'm kind of in a dilemma where I'm like, these are delicious, but they're not really very beery to me. Do you understand what I mean?
Yes, and I'm starting to wonder if this comes back to one of the things that we complain about, where a lot of, I wouldn't say traditional, but long-standing beer drinkers, especially here in kind of Nova Scotia, where they don't want to try a craft beer because they know what they like. I drink this because, you know, my dad always drank this. I drink Moosehead. I drink Keats. Even though it tastes bad. And if you drink something that isn't Keats, like the number of times that I was out at a bar, someone's like, do you want to have a Keats? And I'm like, no, I'm going to drink something that tastes good. I'm going to treat my mouth nicely. So I'm going to get a vodka lime. I'm going to go get a cranberry juice and, you know, or a rum and Coke. I'm going to have something that tastes nice. And there's this weird, like, it's not shame, it's judging. And everyone says, well, you're not a real man if you can't drink this, basically, beer-flavored thing. So the fact that we're coming away from the skunkiness and the ugliness and the non-tastiness of beer, so would a traditional beer drinker... It's so easy. It's so easy to get down. And honestly, you wouldn't think that it's just a glass of juice. There is a little tiny hop bitterness is in there somewhere. So the big question is, does that traditional taste of beer, like you're saying, if it's missing in this, is that just what bad beer tastes like and it's slowly being removed from craft beer? And so the only thing left is someone saying, oh, well, you're not having traditionally, oh, you're not having something that is... Should traditional beer be, it has to be uncomfortable, it has to be painful, you have to be paying for it, you're not a real man unless you are in discomfort drinking this.
Well, and that's what we were thinking to some extent about those really smashy IPAs, the single... single moments. We were thinking the same thing, and we, I think we still do to some extent. I think it would probably be a little easier for us to now to go back and drink some of those really sharp, acidic ones, because I think our palates have adapted a little bit. But we know what we like, and we know also what we don't like. We know that the thing you're talking about there is a beer shouldn't have to be a chore to get through, to be all manly and to say, we need this to be the sharpest, most acidic thing possible, this IPA. But I don't want it also. I still want to have a beer. I still want to have... Rebecca said, before we came on, she said, I don't think I'll ever want a stout again. And I'm like, oh God, I will. This is how much she's come around to IPA, the fruity IPAs. I totally want to have a stout, and I totally want to have... an ESB, an English style ale, and the Scottish ones that we have. I want all of those things because I still have a big thing for malty beers. But also I can totally see. I know you're chomping at the bit. I can see you're chomping at the bit. This, you know, we said that we could drink stouts all year round, even in the middle of summer when it's 25, 26 degrees.
Yeah.
I'm kind of rethinking that with these juicy, thirst-quenching, hazy IPAs. Mm. If someone says to me now, and I'm on my deck and it's 30 degrees, do you want a nice, thick, dark, stout, Ian, or this very hazy New England IPA? Now, someone said that 2 or 3 years ago and said, this is a no-brainer. But nowadays, I think I've totally been converted. I want this. Fruity thing, but it's still not really beer.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to say is, I thought I had it, and then it keeps going away. But the thought I keep coming back to is, if the chest thumper is of no, it's not beer unless it's painful, it's hurtful. But in finding even the malty beers that we like, so a really, you know, a really smooth red or a really velvety chocolate stout that we've had before that have absolutely, there's no bitterness, it's just smoothness. So if we've removed the discomfort from everything. I mean, we've even had some really smooth ESBs before. And I think that's part of the evolution that we've talked about, especially the evolution of beer drinking in Nova Scotia. Steve Crane has mentioned at least twice. And if we're coming out of the opinion that it's not beer unless I'm actively shuddering afterwards going, goo. And because that's just what we saw our friends do that when they drank beer. We saw the parents do that. Our brothers do that. We saw everybody do that. You know, that's what you're supposed to do. Oh, here, drink this. Oh, yeah, I don't really like it, but I got to get it down. And then it's this love-hate. You learn to love to hate it, or you learn to hate to love it kind of thing. And that's almost sort of, it's there's some.
I only felt that for the lagers and the pilsners when I was growing, because my friends were all lager drinkers and I was a dark ale drinker like
but
my dad.
Is that what but you're that's... missing? Is that what you're what you drink this and you say, where's that awful lager flavor that my friend?
Yeah, because I never liked any of those mass produced lagers, and I if I would drink it because, hey, when you're 18, 20 years old and someone hands you a beer, regardless of what it is, you're like, yeah, I'm drinking beer, great stuff. Mm-hmm. But there was a kind of, and I still feel the same way. If I went back to the UK now and someone hands me a pint of Penance, I'm going to say, because the lager they drink in Scotland by the case load, it would still be like, oh, all right, I'll drink it, but it's difficult to get there. Whereas if someone gives me a nice darker ale from one of the decent breweries there, then it's not hard for me, Ross.
No.
It was never going to be, it's a difficult, I'll just drink that like it's water.
Every garden party, birthday party, something, event that I'll be at, you know, family or friend event this summer is probably going to be all, oh, here, have a Miller Genuine Draft, or here, have a Bud Light, and I'll be thinking to myself, thinking, really wish I was having the English Pub Ale from the Horton Ridge Malt House right now. Really, that's what I want. That is what I want.
That this doesn't have. Even though I absolutely adore the Tropical Storm, and I know that's a double IPA, mm-hmm. and because the reason why, because to me that is so, it is just like I can imagine I'm sitting in a pool in Barbados, and this beer arrives with a flipping parasol in it, and I'm sitting there literally underneath the straw in the pool. That to me is where I'm drinking that. It's so tropical. It's so sweet. And it's just like heaven. Not very beery, but it's so gorgeous. But this one, at least, there are some, of course, that maintain. They keep their slight bitterness.
Yep.
And their slight sourness, if you will. This is so full of flavour, and it's still got a real tang to it that some of the really sweeter IPAs, juicy IPAs, might be missing a little bit of.
I think it has nailed what it's advertising. Velvety? Yeah. Yes. It's very smooth. It leaves even just a mild coat. Like, the body is medium, but it just wraps around the inside of your mouth. It's lush. Yeah. Kind of not quite sure how I describe that, but yes, juicy, definitely. And then whatever we found on the New Brunswick Alcool is, it's a super saturated IPA dripping with flavors of passion fruit, pineapple, papaya, and ripe peach. Honestly, yeah, that's what's going on. Major tropical vibes. It's super lush, fresh tasting, and perfect for enjoying sunny summer days. What's on the can? What's written about it? It nails it. It is. Excellent. This is really, really, really good. And now, if you want to reverse things, where do we drink Imperial Stouts in the height of summer? Maybe not anymore. But, ooh, it's Christmas Eve. It's New Year's Eve, and there's an ice storm out. The fire's on. And someone says, oh, I've got some lush and juicy hazy IPAs. Do you want one of them?
Are you asking me, or are you just being?
I'm asking the both of us, because I think I know that my answer would be, yeah.
No, I wouldn't. Now this is perfect. There's a great indication of it, because, like I said, if before, up until fairly recently, I still would have taken a nice big thick stout over an IPA, even on a hot summer's day. However, they've got to the stage now, and it's clearly they got better, and also my taste buds have shifted. I can't deny my taste buds have shifted. I would now prefer one of these on a hot summer's day. But you just gave me, it's snowing outside and it's icy and it's Christmas Eve. I'm sorry. I don't think I'm looking for the refreshment and the thirst quenching that this gives me in that scenario. I'm totally going to go for my Russian Imperial Stout. Thank you very much.
Yes. Now, here's the thing. This coming in, hey, I've got a 6.5 hazy IPA. And you're like, okay. And you say, or I've got this really, you know, dark, velvety stout that's 4.7%.
When are we drinking? At what time of year?
This is this ice storm on New Year's Eve. I think it's a percentage game. Because when the weather's really bad, I go, the stronger, the better.
Yeah, that makes sense. So that's why you like, you would sit down and have a nice chocolatey rum when it's really cold and snowy. Yeah, I can understand that. I'm not necessarily looking for something that's thirst quenching when it's like that.
No.
I'm looking for something dark and rich. The Christmas pudding is like that for a reason, and it's drenched with alcohol.
Leviathan triple IPA, honestly. Can you imagine that at a Christmas party, just walking around? Someone would say, is that a grapefruit drink? What is that? Yes, thank you. This is my grapefruit and Long Island iced tea.
You know, we've said in the past, why is it we can't get stouts in the summertime? Everyone takes them off. They just don't brew. And I understand, of course, they're on a rotation, and they know what is popular in the summertime, and they've got to start thinking about spicy pumpkin things at a certain time of year, etc. I get it. I can have a spicy pumpkin drink in March, for goodness sake. I don't want to wait till October. However, I understand, and when we're talking about craft breweries and nano breweries, they have to be far more discerning and inventive the way that they rotate their beers rather than the big boys that maybe have the premises to do that. But of course, we've said, why can't I get a stout in the middle of summer? I want a stout. I like a nice dark. I get it. I really do get it, because if beer is this good and it's strong and quite delightful, I think I'd rather have this on a hot day. I do get it. I understand it.
And it's only taken us 215 weeks, 4 years, however many. Well, wait, how many? 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, that's a little around 4 years to learn and figure that out. But so I were I to mark this, immediately, I would say low nines, low to mid nines. Of what it is and what it's presenting. That is, for a New England IPA, I think if there was a little kicker of like a secondary citrus zest at the back end, that would just 10 out of 10 for me. So lacking, the only thing that I can feel is a nitpick. 9.495, I think, out of 10.
All of us have drunk a fair few really good hazy IPAs recently, to such an extent that I can't quite distinguish, unless of course I had these five or six in front of me and said, this is one we had here, this is one we had here, they're all different, they're all very good, then I might be able to detect subtle differences and put them one above the other in this weird kind of ladder that I'm building for myself. Without being able to do that, I will just say straight up front, this is a 9.5 hazy IPA for me. It's really delicious, and it's from Two Crows, and whatever they're doing now, they've totally won me over. This is fabulous, and I want another one. But thankfully, thankfully, what we can do is I'm going to leave my two fingers worth there, because the other one, is it the same kind of beer? Because I haven't read it. Given this one a 9.5 out of 10, it's not going to get. If it gets much better than this, it'll be crazy.
Well, I mean, it all depends on if it sticks to what it's writing about. And there's lots to talk of here. So from sea level, Millstone Harvest Brewhouse up here in Sheffield Mills, Nova Scotia, we've got Ninkasi's NEIPA, Ninkasi's NEIPA, and it's rocking in there at a 7.1%. It's not quite showing up, but this is this gorgeous artwork of a lady on the side of the can. And this was a part of the Pink Boots Brew. And I'm not sure if that's a group, a movement, but it's on here on the side. But it was made for 2025's International Women's Day this past March 8th. So the Pink Boots Collaboration Brew Day, a portion of the... Oh, man, this is... It's pink on purple is the text on the side. Portion of the proceeds from the sale of this beer goes to the Pink Boots Society. And Pink Boots Society is, I think, for helping women in... What's the politest way to put this? In dour... situations, domestic situations, trying to escape any kind of negative environment.
You
help?
Just scared me. You just said that the International Women's Day was on March the 8th, which is like almost 10 weeks ago now. That seems like it was like so recently. I read a meme the other day which made me laugh. You know, we all talk about the time just gets away from us, and it said, I can't believe we're already 5 months into a year that only started 2 weeks ago. That brought it home to me. We are in mid-May, and like you've just alluded to, next in like 5 weeks' time, it's mid-summer. We're halfway through the year.
We are, like, yeah. It's been a bit of a slog for winter and spring. I'm wrong. It's not specifically for women in negative domestic situations. The Pink Boot Society is a nonprofit which supports women and non-binary people working in fermented beverages and allied industries. So the Pink Boot Society is just something that tries to get more women into brewing, winemaking, cider making, anything. So it's just a kind of an awareness campaign type thing. The Ninkasi NEIPA is the collaboration creation of our strong team of women here at Sea Level as a special release for 2025 International Women's Day. Connects modern historical contributions. But on their Instagram post for this beer, it gives a bit more. Was brewed using Pink Boot Society hop blend, which imparts juicy berries and stone fruit flavors. Arguably our juiciest beer yet. Ninkasi, the person, this nice person on the can, is the Mesopotamian goddess of beer and brewing, a fitting deity to represent our awesome team of women here at Sea Level Brewing.
I've heard of Mesopotamia. Come on, off the top of your pink head, without looking it up, where the heck is Mesopotamia?
I'm going to say Greece. Near
looking at the lady on the front.
Near Greece.
Okay. I immediately, I don't know why, but of course, until I saw the urns and everything there, I was kind of thinking she looked a bit Indian. But then, of course, she does have that thing going around her neck, and so yeah, it may be Southern Europe or even not North Africa, right? So where are you looking it up now?
Yes. We're both wrong. We're both quite wrong. A historical region in the Middle East, specifically between the Tigris and Euphrates River. Today it encompasses parts of modern-day Iraq, Kuwait, and Syria.
Ah, okay. That makes more sense. So it is the Middle East. Mesopotamia. I was today... You know that term where I read it all the time, and it actually annoys me when people say, today years old when I learned that. Yep. Well, I was today years old when I learned that Mesopotamia is in the Middle East. And if I get asked that in the next trivia, I'm going to know the answer.
Uest Mesopotamia, yeah. If you are born in Mesopotamia, what language are you speaking?
Syrian, Iraqi, or what?
Well, Kuwait, but... I don't think they speak Kuwaiti. That's not a thing. You'd speak Arabic, would you not?
No, I was going to say they do speak Kuwaiti, but of course, no, the people are Kuwaitis.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do is in Pakistan, or part of. Do you speak Arabic? Is that what you said? I'm not sure.
I said Arabic, but Arabic. I think that's sort of just the catch-all for, you know, North Americans who don't know. My ignorant North American viewpoint is, you know, over there they talk Muslim, but that's not a language.
So. Not quite Arabic, but you poured yours. Did you get a full can?
I did get a full can because I got the full 20 ounces. But regard the color. If you want to have a look at the color difference, look.
Wow.
Look at that.
Yeah.
One looks like beer. This the sea level one looks like beer. It's very amber. It's almost, it's bordering on a red or a brown. Very clear, though. It's not quite the same haziness. They did not promise haziness. They just promised juicy. Oh.
I was not expecting that at all.
Hmm.
The color.
I am getting a juicy berry smell off the top of that.
Berries and stone fruit, they promised us, did they not?
Yes.
Right. This smells really... I'm really interested to this one because it's so different from the big juicy hazy fruity tropical fruit thing we've just had. This is so different.
Is it that same sweet though? Kurdish, Turkish, Armenian, Greek, in Syria, that is. The main language is spoken in the Middle East, specifically. Arabic is the main official language of most of these countries, including Iraq and Kuwait. But it is the official language of Syria. That's interesting. Okay. I feel a little bit better about that. I should have remembered Kurdish. I've heard that before. Regardless, the head is gone in my interesting...
I berry. Got a full can in there.
Oh my goodness! It's is glass. Very sweet. It smells like strawberries, raspberries. There's a wow. Okay.
Strawberries are good. It's hard to figure out when they said stone fruits. I'm trying to nail one on, but strawberries sounds about right. Strawberry stroke raspberry. I don't know, but that's strawberry is the one. Thank you for saying that because now I'm hanging my flag on strawberries.
Juicy.
That's the overriding thing.
Juicy berries and stone fruit flavor. So it could be anything, really. How's the can going? Are you getting it all in the whatnot?
Oh, I'm not going to get it in.
Oh,
I've got a little... it's a North Brewing glass. I think you gave me that.
I did. Yep.
I can't get it all in.
Okay.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, yes.
What?
It's malty, though, what? Ross.
Yes!
It's got a malt to it.
How is a sweet malt a thing? That's like a Malteser. Ooh, my. But the berries, the berries are still... Wow!
What a flavor.
I wish I knew what the Pink Boot Society hop blend is, because I'm not really getting much of a hop. Oh, there's still... The perfume of the berries is still kind of cascade rotating through my mouth and going into my nose. The smell is still berry-ish.
Very sweet, very fruity. But malty and... Excuse me. So different. But...
Very different. That is... Very intriguing, and I love it. What is this style meant to be?
This is a Northeast IPA, is it? Yes, it is.
New England IPA, not a Northeast IPA.
I just fell right into the trap.
You fell into the trap. It's the same thing that I do, too.
Yeah.
I think we got it this time. That's... Oh, do you know what? For listeners at home.
Yeah, good.
There we go. I didn't have my additional light on. That's the problem. I wasn't perfectly lit for the purposes of audio perfection.
Are you able to swap your backdrop to see that?
Oh.
Do you have one of those?
I do. Yeah. Thank you for reminding me. I'm going it. To...
Wow, that's... I'm trying to think of superlatives. Gosh is all I can say, and wow is pretty.
Gosh and wow. Isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
again, really smooth.
Well done.
It hangs around. There's a bouquet to it. The planting.
I can't believe the grainy maltiness to this.
It's really quite sweet.
I was not expecting the malt.
No, nor was I. Mm. That was the first thing that hit me was the malt, because I think it's because it was so different from our sunny destination. Immediately, it was maltier and sweeter that way. Now I've got the. Now all of that is in there, rather than the sunny destination hanging around.
I'm glad I left a little bit of the sunny destination, though, because that was so good. But have you ever had a cereal that had sweet little things in it? Like, you can get Special K with tiny crystallized chunks of strawberry in it.
Oh, I've had, yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yep.
That's what this is. This is breakfast cereal with candy.
An alcoholic breakfast cereal. Don't get
alcoholic Lucky Charms. That's what's going on. Is it comparable to the 9.5, which I'm still saying is the Two Crows? I think it's weird enough to not really be comparable, because it's not like we made a New England IPA. They're basically saying, hey, we're doing this as a promotion for International Women's Day, so we're using this particular hop set, and we're going to just smash it in with a bunch of berries and just go crazy. And I like the novelty. It's not a traditional... Well, what even is a traditional New England IPA? But it definitely not what I was expecting. Because, I mean, look at that. Look at the color of that. That is not... You don't say any IPA when you look at that.
So how would you distinguish it as a NEIPA? How would sea level say this is our northeast IPA? Did I just say northeast? New England IPA.
The malt profile, the lack of the stank bitterness, the less reliance on a hop forward backbone or front bone. To that extent, because for an IPA, for a lot of IPAs, it always sort of says, well, there you are, there's your hop, bam. But for the New England IPAs, I find they're a little bit more, yeah, we don't need to have so much of a hop, let's back off of that and give you the rest of the beer. And this is everything else, and there's some kind of hop is in there, but it's really mixing with that with the juicy berry.
It's giving similar vibe. I think we've alluded to this before with another beer as well, but I'm going back to the Malternate Reality from North Brewing. Giving me that kind of vibe, which I know is an IPA, but it definitely has a maltier backbone to it. It's far more in the mix.
It's
at the front of the mix, to be honest, is where the malt is. In these kind of style, they're not purporting to be big, hazy, juicy IPA. That's what this isn't. It's not saying this is what we are. It's saying something quite different, and it's really, really good, Ross. Big, malty, sweet, but still fruity, but a different kind of fruit. We're not talking tropical fruits. We're talking berries and stone fruits, and it's bloody good.
Special K Red Berries is the brand, the actual name of the cereal that I'm thinking of. And it's just got chunks of, I don't know, freeze-dried strawberries in it.
Very recently, I saw it. I only buy those kind of things when they're on 50% off in Superstore because I'm mean. And that we had one exactly one of those fairly recently. I know exactly what you mean. And I do understand what you mean.
It's not a bad thing to be similar to that. God, I would drink a beer that tastes like Special K and strawberries. Come on, bring it on. It's so good. It's a grainy, like a bready, delicious, malty beer with this berries on the front end. Is it a New England IPA? I don't know. Maybe, but it So I guess that's the funny thing. You can be an IPA, you can be a hazy IPA, and then over in the New England IPA, apparently you can be a hazy New England IPA, or you could just be a crystal clear, you know, red New England IPA. I don't know what the hell's going on over here, but it...
What they do have in common, they don't have that poison that Rebecca referred to with some of the West Coast IPAs, where you do go, you shudder a bit because they are still very sour and a bit. Ugh. But you don't get that with either of these. No.
The bitter, the bite, the sour, the dank is the other word that I sometimes hear. These are very sweet.
Yeah, they are.
But sweet yet. Malty. Especially malty happening over here. This is.
Well, they're going to be. The maltiness hopefully gives a lot of the beers the sweetness, does it not? I get the sweetness with the maltiness. This was so. If we started this the other way around, and like I say, I'm glad that eventually any lingering sunny destination had gone by the time I got through halfway through this. I did take some swigs of water to try to cleanse my palate. It didn't totally work because it was still something going on there. But now at least I'm getting the whole flavor of this. And I really do like it. I'm not sure, and this might go for the other one as well. I'm not sure that I could never call either of these beers. Actually, maybe I could call the other one, what I'm about to say, sessionable. This one is really full of flavor, sweet and quite delicious. I'm not sure I would be drinking any more than one or two of them.
I feel I might get
a bit queasy. Even do you know what I mean?
I do. I know what you mean with the sweetness of it. But the problem is, I'm also I don't think ahead. So usually it just kind of goes by how I'm feeling at the moment. If I'm having this Two Crows one, and someone comes along and says, "Will you have another?" Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And a pitcher for me and my friends. You know, I am stuck to this. Absolutely. If I'm somewhere and I've had a pint of this, and someone says, "Do you want another one of those?" I could probably spend the rest of the evening trying to decide if I want a second one. I don't know that I'd ever be able. I can't make that decision. I would say, yeah, well, I want to. I want another one. But I don't want another one. But I want another one. I am very torn on a second one of these, because it's so good and so interesting. The only thing I can think of, if someone says, "Do you want another one?" I'd say, "Can you give me a 12 ounce of it? A 12 or a 14? I would order a small second one of these. But
if it comes up,
it's bonkers.
If it came up in it's lovely. If you go to the breweries and you say, "Can I have a flight, please? I want to try six different beers." This one, if there's anything better than this on that flight, you'd be like, "Oh, this is wonderful." This, for a little 4 ounce snifter of this, you'd be like, "This is quite sensational. What is this beer?" But can you drink pints of it? I would struggle to drink pints of it.
It's a different feeling. I'm not sure if you ever tried the coconut porter when it was at Paddy's. But I thought it was crazy interesting. I'll have a pint of that. And I was about nearly down. There was a quarter of my pint left. And I think it's one of the only pints that I've left in the glass. I could not finish. That was definitely not a second one. But this is, I will finish this happily, and I will think, you know what, I will have more of this. I would have more of it. It's not so crazy weird that I would say, yeah, that's just, you know, that's a novelty, and I'll never try that again. It's no cucumber mint, you know, pilsner. But it,
I think it's
cool. I would keep drinking it.
It's fabulous. But I don't want another one. I'm going to tell you now. I don't want another one because I'm glad I had the pint that I've had, but it's really very sweet, and it is thoroughly delicious. And I think in a can of it is enough for me. It's like a novelty beer, in it, but it's really good.
Is your entire can in your glass? Is everything poured out of the can?
Yeah.
What have you got left in your millstone glass? Okay, so I'm leaving. I've got two fingers of Two Crows and one finger of millstone. My plan here, because getting to the bottom of this millstone, not even you're crazy enough to mix these two. They are they're similar, but they're vastly different. I'm slowly losing the sweetness of the millstone, getting towards the bottom of it. And now it's just coming through like a really malty, smooth, like a red ale kind of thing. So what I'm going to do is finish my Two Crows, because I know I love it. And that's all of the sweetness. And I know I'm going to get the papaya and whatnot flavor and the juiciness. And after I have that, then I'm going to try the last sip of the Ninkasi and see if the sweetness is still there or if it's mostly just relying on the malt.
I think the reason why I was enjoying it so much right at the beginning was because I still had the juicy, hazy tropical fruits lingering, because we alluded to the fact that it was kind of coating our mouth earlier on with the fruity stuff. With the tropical fruit stuff. And I think it was. And I think it was almost like a... I'm not going to mix the two. But it was
Please
almost
don't.
Like a perfect... No, I'm not going to. It was almost like a perfect blend. It hit right. The Ninkasi then hit right at the first two or three mouthfuls for me. Because it was like, oh, because there's now some malt balance that the other one doesn't particularly rely upon. And therefore, I was almost like, this is the perfect blend of stone fruits and tropical fruits and malt and hops. Mm. And it was all a melange of wonderfulness. And therefore, I was making noises like I was in heaven. The first couple of... And then the Ninkasi's overall flavor profile ruled. And I really do like it, but I find it just a little too cloying.
Really? Okay. So what is your plan to try to cement these flavor opinions?
Well, if I were to, coming back to our lady in the bar again, if they came around and said, would you like one of both of them again? I'd say, yeah, because I'll take a swig from one and then a swig from another, and I'd sink
it's,
my two pints.
It's not mixing. You're double. You're, this is the optimal double fist night. That's what you're saying that we're at here.
I'll do what you're doing. So you're going to drink your Sunny Destination to finish the two fingers of that first.
So I'm finishing two fingers of Sunny Destination. Ready? Down there.
All right, I'll do that with you. Oh yeah, I remember what that tastes like. Awesome.
Oh, that's so good. So good.
Awesome.
It's a different kind of sweetness. It's just the citrusy. It's not kind of a the berry flavor of the Ninkasi almost. I know it's not, but it almost tasted artificial. Just more like a refined sugar. But this is definitely a citrusy sweet.
I stopped myself from saying it. It tasted a little bit cosmetic to me, the Ninkasi. Once I was drinking, I was past that point where I thought, I'm drinking it all now. I'm getting all the flavor to it. It's delicious.
Oh.
But it's. Oh. I don't know what else to say about it. I know.
That malt. Last word.
There is now the malt. The malt is.
There, it's all malt. The sweet, the oversweetness, it's gone now. Does the Two Crows? Does the juiciness, the citrus of the other beer, kill the sweet? Because we took a little bit of time in between the two, but by the end of the Ninkasi, it's just delicious malt. It's just malt. There's a funny little juice. There's a strawberry at the top. And then it's gone. on.
The malt hits hard after you've drunk a mouthful or two of the sunny destination, where the tropical fruit is sweetness is. It's really interesting to try it that way, and I enjoyed that again. And I enjoyed that last swig of Ninkasi's the same as I did the first part of it. We go like, oh, malt and sweetness.
Malt and
it's really malty sweetness. It's like the it does remind me very much of the alternate reality, which we've said before. Mm-hmm. I think it's not going to be anymore. It's got that kind of feel to it.
On Instagram and Facebook, they're saying it's our juiciest beer yet, and I say I literally tried your blueberry pale ale 2 weekends ago, and it's got more sweetness, more fruit flavor than it has more the blueberry pale ale has more fruit flavor than the bottom half of this New England IPA, but it was comparable with the top half. That was so interesting.
So how do you define juiciness? That's the thing.
Oh, do it taste like juice, I guess.
Yeah, but you can have orange juice and you can have grape juice. They're two completely different flavors.
But
define juiciness.
It gives you a fruity, flavored mouthfeel.
So they're just saying it's fruitier.
Sweet, yes, I think.
Okay, because of course the first one is all tropical fruits, passion fruit, papaya, peach, anything else beginning with P. They threw it in there, and it was all very
potatoes,
obviously
pecans, tropical. Pelicans, yeah,
yes, pelicans, the juiciest of
the juiciest of the tropical fruits.
Juiciest. Whereas
it's all on the
whereas
beak.
The other one, that's. I guess when I asked, how do you define juicy? That's how I define juicy. Sort of tropical, fruity, orange, papaya, grapefruit, pineapple. That's how I define juicy. Whereas the other one didn't have any of that whatsoever. Stone fruits to me, yes, of course you can have tomato. You can have stone fruit juice, but
don't eat a tomato if there's a stone in the middle of it.
I'm now associating with a juiciness in New England IPAs as being tropical fruits. I guess that's where I'm leading to. The other one was not juicy to me at all. It was clear. It was quite crisp, but it was very smooth.
Definitely more on the berry side of flavor than the stone fruit side of flavor, or even the citrusy.
Pulpy.
Yeah,
even the pulp. Yeah, I'm going with juicy. That kind of feel to it, thick, rich, pulpy thing. And your sea level didn't have any of that. It was very clear. It was bloody tasty, but it wasn't juicy to me. It was smooth, not juicy.
I'm still happy to give the Ninkasi's a 9.1.
Cool. The Mesopotamian Ninkasi IPA.
Yeah.
She's a doll. I think, and it's also 7%. So it's strong.
Yes. Yeah. And I selfishly like to give strong beers good marks, just because I always appreciate getting wicked.
Yeah, they're achieving. They're going for it. I really like it. I'm going to give it an 8.5. It's a little more difficult for me to drink after I got over the after I had really. Got to grips with it. It's a little cloying for me, but I think a can is the perfect amount for me personally, and then I would need to dial it back a little bit. But I'm really glad that it's here. is it still here, or are they? Is it something that was a special edition and they were sort of saying?
It was specially made for March, but I'm fairly certain. Honestly, I think it's still on tap. Up, you know, just behind me over there, over on that tap, right? That one right there. So it's still available at Millstone Sea Level. The question is,
tell you what, if I were to rock up at their establishment and get a flight of it, I would leave that one till last, because it really is special. Knowing as we do that all the barrel aged rums stouts are now probably history, I would save this one till last, because one, it's strong. And I wouldn't mind having that as my last flavor as I'm leaving the place. But I'm not gonna sink pints of it, because it's really.
No, you're right. You're right that it's not sessionable. Of the two, the sunny destination is the more sessionable of the two. You can just sit there and sit out there in the sunny patio and have more and more and more. But this one is definitely it's a talking point. It's a conversation piece.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Probably have a second, and then, you know, have someone drive me home.
Yeah. I'm giving it an 8.5. It's fab. On a completely different chart to the other one. This is not... These aren't the any IPAs you're looking for, Ian. These aren't the any IPAs. It's not my choice. If someone says, do you want a juicy IPA, it's not this one, personally. It's this one.
Yeah.
But they both have a place in my heart now for different reasons.
Mm-hmm. Fully agree.
Good. And on that bombshell, I'm adding. Good night. Cheers.
Bombshell. I mean, the fact that we both agreed, and I think gave similar marks to the sunny destination from Two Crows, and if you went back several years and saying if we'd ever both agree on a 9.5 beer from Two Crows, you would have thought that would never happen. But we, the two of us, Ian and I, are here every week, Wednesday night, 8 to 9 p.m. here on our YouTube channel, live, youtube.com/@drinknsdry. You can find our podcast, all the podcasty places. You can check us out on, I think we're on, are we on Instagram? I think so. Instagram, the TikToks, the YouTubes, and the little, you know, snippets and whatnot, things. But if you want to go straight to the source, it is hosted at drinkns.unsupervised.beer. So hopefully we'll see you again next week, and thank you all for stopping by and watching/listening. Have a good night.